Welcome to another Nerdcast Interviews. This is Jay, and a few weeks back, I was able to go to Good News Brewing in O'Fallon, Missouri. I sat down with the owners of the brewery, and we talked a little bit about the brewery itself, how they got into brewing, and the fact that they're a Christian brewery and how that ties into what they're trying to do. There are some issues with the audio. There was a connection issue with one of the cables, and we were actually in the brewery, so there's a little bit of background noise as well. All right, so we're at Good News Brewing with...
Hey, this is Dan Tripp.
And this is Matt Fair.
And they're the owners, so let's get right into it. How'd you guys get into brewing?
Well, let's think. So I've been brewing for this for quite a while. Got a home brewer kit, one of those Mr. Beer kits.
Oh, yeah.
Got that for Christmas and was really excited to do it and got it all set up and realized it was a lot of cleaning and then it sat there for a while. Did my first batch, got it all prepped, got it going, set it in the basement, and let it sit there for probably about a year or two.
Oh, wow.
Started growing some mold on it and never did anything with it and eventually just dumped it down the drain. So then one day I was just driving in the car and I heard this like ad on KC about home brewing, and there's a homebrew supply store here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to check this out. So I went there and checked that out, learned how to, that you can actually do these in 5-gallon buckets, and was reading the reviews, and people were saying that they make beer better than that can be by the store. I was like, I got to try this. So did all that, did all the research online, and made my own first kit, and it wasn't very successful.
Yeah.
But then tried another one, and that one wasn't successful. But by my third batch, I was like, hey, this is actually drinkable, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So...
My wife's not a beer drinker, and I kind of started the same way. Yeah. And one of the first ones I did was an IPA. And so she tasted it, and she's like, this is good. And then never tried a beer again of mine. And we went to a festival, and there was an IPA there, and she tried it. And she's like, you're a lot better than I thought. So, yeah it's fun just playing with it and trying to figure out, does this work?
Yeah. So. Yep. I never heard your story, like actually how you actually started. Like you, I know we joined together, but I never heard back before.
I started out the same way back probably 25 years ago now with the Mr. Beer kit. Played with that three or four batches. Was impressed, got away from it for probably 10 years or so. And then wanted to get back into it, so I started doing the extract kits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smaller stuff on the stove, and they were coming out okay. But always had the desire to do all grain. Just felt it was a little challenging until I met Dan, and then he was already doing the all grain, and took that as a challenge to, you know, ramp up. And if he can do it, I can do it better.
Oh yeah. So how did you guys meet?
Well, first off, 25 years ago, you've been brewing 25 years. Yeah. How old does that make you now? Jeez Louise. So we were doing a Bible study, and Matt joined my Bible study, and as he said, I was doing all grain brewing. It was technically electrical brewing. It was pretty dangerous electrical brewing. I wired up my own system. I'm surprised I really didn't burn the house. I'm no joke. I actually had one little electrical fire one time, but just melted some circuits. But I had an electric brewing system in the basement, and I showed him what it was, and it was basically just a 5-gallon aluminum bucket with a little 110-volt element in there that would heat it up and can do that. And so got okay with it, but I mostly brewed over at my friend Archie's house, and he was doing the 15-barrel batches, so doing that. And so then Matt was interested in brewing, so I said, hey, let's go over to my friend Archie's house. Let's brew with him a couple times, and then he learned to do it, and then kind of just went from there.
So then how did Good News come about?
Wow.
Well, Good News was about, started with myself and Dan and Josh brewing in the basement together. At the same time, Dan and I were doing a Bible study on a book called Flesh by Hugh Halter. And we got inspired to tie in our brewing to our church group. Hugh Halter had a pub in his house, and he'd invite people in and just, you know, kind of hang out and wait for a conversation to come about to share the good news. So we decided that once a month, the study group would meet at my house where we had the brewing system, and we'd invite people in that weren't part of our Bible study, small group, and just kind of wait for conversation, have fun, hang out,
yeah,
drink beer, make beer. Whenever conversation came up to share the good news, we would. That's behind the scenes what brought us to it. We still didn't have that name at that point.
Well, you guys were you going to be fellowship at first and then change it to good news?
No, so how we got the name was we were brewing in Matt's basement, and we always knew we wanted to go pro. We always knew that from the beginning. It was like, one of these days we're going to own a big brewery, and let's get this one barrel system. Let's practice it. Let's learn how to do it. And we were at Design to Brew, which is our homebrew supply store in Winghaven, and we had a relationship with the owners there because we bought a lot of things from them. We were like one of their number one customers. And there was a space next door that was for rent, and I just said, hey, like, I'm just curious, like, how much does a place even cost for rent? Like, we're looking at starting a place. And she said, well, why don't you guys brew with us? We are getting a new liquor license, and we're going to start selling beer. Mm-hmm. Why don't you brew with us, and we'll have it on tap? And we're like, well, how do we do that? She's like, well, all you got to do is just go get a name, form an LLC, and we'll call it Collaboration Brews. So, like, all right, let's figure out how to do that. So we went back and forth, and we're just texting all kinds of messages of, like, well, what kind of names we could have. We wanted to do something that was out of the box, forward thinking, and Matt came up with this idea that it was a unique name, and I looked it up, and it had something with, like, something about bad or waiting for, like, I can't remember what it was, but I replied to the text, and I was like, that means this. And but at this exact same time, Josh was at the hospital when he was waiting for good news about his unborn baby, and so he threw out the good news. And that resonated with me and Matt, and we just knew right away, like, that was the only name that we said that just that fit for who we are, and that's what stuck.
Yeah. So how did you meet Josh? And he's not here to talk with us right now. So
Josh had worked for me for a number of years. I'm a service manager at a Honda dealer, and Josh started out as a porter for me back in 2007. And then worked his way up to service advisor. Have been service advisor with him up until January this year when he became the full-time brewer.
Okay. In my denomination of Christianity, they don't condone drinking. So it's not talked about at our church because there's a lot of us that do. But have you had any opposition to this as a Christian-based brewery?
Yeah, we have. We posted some things on Facebook. We have Bible verses, and some people have, you know, have
very,
said
very few people have
very
made
few people
comments and they wouldn't visit a place
that, yeah, more about, you know, like, how dare you trying to sell beer in the name of the Lord,
yeah,
or things like that. Very, very few.
Okay.
It's actually kind of been the opposite. We've had a lot of praise of people who will come in and sit down and talk with us, and they get to hear our story, and we tell them what we're doing, and we say that we're trying to partner with churches and someday have a whole new church movement. And they realize, like, wait, good news means the good news? Like, yeah. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, it just clicks. Yeah.
Clicks. Like, that's great. That's awesome. And so there is the connection. And you know, my argument, I know that's going to come up. It's going to come up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just say, you know, Jesus' very first miracle was turning water into wine.
Yeah.
Like, that turned his whole mission, his ministry in there. It wasn't making someone, he started the party.
Right.
The party was getting lame. They weren't prepared. They didn't know what to do. He turned the party around and made the event, and that was his springboard into his entire ministry, which led us to where we are today.
Well, and the Bible talks about doing it in excess is the problem, not just getting together and hanging out and
correct
fellowship.
Exactly.
So, and you guys do Bible studies, and you did a Christmas Eve service, right?
Absolutely.
And how was the turnout for that?
It was fun. It was standing room only. It was
really
great. Yeah.
I was disappointed. I wanted to come up for it, but we had service at the same time.
Yeah. So. Sure. Yeah. I mean, and our goal is not to take any way away from the church.
Right.
That's not, we love the church. We support the church. We both participate in church services. But there's, we get the opportunity to talk about Jesus here more than I would imagine most Christians do every single day.
Right.
Just through a few conversations with us here at the bar, people get to ask, you know, what is the name Good News? Well, here, let me tell you.
Right. And so have you got people that came in and started following Jesus? Or do you not know that? I mean, have you not built up enough regulars?
We know that at the Christmas service, we had two people who came in that said that they wouldn't normally step foot in the church.
Right.
They came in by themselves. They were quiet. They, you know, kind of stuck themselves. But at the end, they thanked us for having it and said that it was something that they really needed. They just had nowhere to go.
Right.
So this was the place for them, and that's what we're all about. If we do anything and we only touch one life, that's worth it all.
Oh, yeah. So did you have a minister come in, or did you guys handle it yourselves?
Yeah, we handled it ourselves. So
did you?
I did the service. We the challenge was, is where do we find someone who's going to play music on Christmas Eve service that, you know, has a, you know, a Christian musical background? Well, luckily, we found that guy at the bar. He's one of our regulars.
Wow.
who plays regularly at some of the churches. And Jeff Mozingo is one of our friends. Mm-hmm. At Mozingo Music, and so
yeah,
he helped us out, and we had a great turnout, and we led it. But that's not our. We've got goals in the future, and we're still trying to figure out what that relationship is with the church and us. But we know that is definitely a goal. As Matt said, there are people who are never going to step foot in a church.
Right.
Just bottom line, that's just what it is. Unless it's a wedding,
yeah,
or a funeral, maybe Christmas. But some of those guys aren't even going to step foot on Christmas Eve. They're just not going to. And there's a lot of, I call them unchurched people.
Yeah.
People who were greatly involved in the church, and something happened to them. Something, an experience, usually negative.
Yeah.
They turned away, and they're not. They've kind of lost their desire to go to church, but I believe they still have that desire to be part of a community,
mm-hmm,
to fellowship, to be missionary, and we want to try to figure out how to bridge that gap. To,
yeah.
How can we join all of our forces together, that we need to stop trying to do things on our own and work together to solve that problem.
All right. So I saw you guys also did a Bible study. How was the turnout for that?
We haven't started that yet. This,
okay,
is, and this was a friend of ours who's starting out this Friday. She was looking for a place to have it, and so she asked me if we could have it here, and I said absolutely. That's what we're about.
That's awesome. I'm glad to find a place like that we can come and hang out and do something like that on the public, because it's kind of hard to find outside of a church sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
We're also in the process of putting together an Easter service.
Are you?
Too, yeah.
Okay. So I know you guys also do a running club. How did that go?
I only run when I get chased.
That was another kind of connection I've had with a group of people. I'm, mm-hmm, part of the... My wife and I, for some crazy reason, started doing triathlons.
Okay.
And got accepted into the swim, bike, run triathlon community.
Okay.
And that was a blessing for us, because it's pretty, you know, pretty strong church goers. Sometimes you don't get accepted into different communities.
Yeah.
Because you're in your little Christian bubble.
Yeah.
And when you get that opportunity to get immersed and to be a part of another group's world,
yeah,
you got to take that opportunity, because you got to show them what truth is. And it's been a blessing to become friends with this group of athletes that aren't church, they're not churchgoers.
Yeah.
They're strong athletes and have devoted their life to being athletic.
Hi, I'm Josh.
It's Josh. Hey, Josh.
Yeah,
Josh is here. He was cleaning. Now he's
leaving.
Now he's leaving.
That's great talking.
The life of a brewer. He's a full-time cleaner. You guys have words of wisdom you want to share? Josh, where you leave? No, he doesn't have any. All right. So being part of that community, they also love beer,
yeah,
which really helps. Because they're some of our best customers, that they come in here. And so then we had an opportunity, the new running store here, mm-hmm, contacted us and say, hey, there's these pub runs that are people are doing across the country, and we'll bring some sponsors in and do this pub run. And so I definitely want to see that relationship grow and happen. Definitely want to have this connection of fitness and good craft beer, that especially mountain bikers is another area of connections I want to connect.
People yeah.
who mountain bike love craft beer.
So when it warms up in the spring, you're going to start that back up?
Absolutely.
Okay. I missed out on that. I really wanted to gum up for it, but it's hard sometimes with kids.
Yep.
So you guys are going to be opening a coffee shop, right? A roaster?
Yes, absolutely.
So how's that going?
It's going well. It's really, the momentum is in place. Opening this place was definitely a challenge here. It took a lot of work. We did the majority of the physical labor, took on all the emotional labor yeah. of it as well. And our hazelnut coffee milk stout is one of our top rated beers mm-hmm. on Untappd. And once we got the reviews from that, we decided like, all right, let's this is fun. Our long-term goal is to build a bigger brewery because we just can't supply enough of our beer on our own.
Right.
So we said, let's open a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to roast our own coffee for that beer.
Yeah.
And ultimately the goal is to get that beer out of production because I think that's one that can, that's going to do well on the shelves.
Yeah.
And on markets, it's a beer that no other brewery is making a beer that I think that is good of a coffee stout.
No. Right.
So I think we'll be able to make it even better and control the production of it and the cost of it if we're roasting our own.
Right. So what's the plan with the coffee house center? I mean, I saw that you're going to have your beer on tap there too.
Yep. So it's called Alpha mm-hmm. and Omega. So we're sticking with that Christian theme.
Yeah.
And my wife will be taking over the day-to-day operations of that. And she came up with the name. And her idea was that, you know, it's begin and end your day with good news.
Ah.
So the idea is that during the day, we'll have our coffees, we'll have our espressos, we'll have our cold brews, our cold brew on nitros, and other tea drinks. But then we'll transition overnight to we'll have beers. We'll have
yeah.
our good news. We'll have our get good news coffee stouts. We'll have hopefully our other main beers that are our, I guess, flagship beers that
yeah.
are going. So we'll have all those beers. We'll even have, we'll have a liquor license. So we'll do some espresso martinis. We'll do some cold brew nitro over a Kahlua or a rum shotta or some other things that it can be fun to do as well.
That sounds awesome. So I know here you do pizza only.
Correct.
Are you going to plan on expanding?
So over there, we're only going to do, we're going to keep it simple again.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches.
All right.
So we'll do some muffins, some cookies, and the salad. We're going to keep it basic.
That's awesome. So you mentioned canning. Are you going to get into canning at some point?
Absolutely. Our long-range goal is to, after we open the coffee, figure that out. Then we are looking at location.
Okay.
We're looking at a second brewery so we can have a full production facility that will then be the main brewing facility for this location on Sondern and the location on North Main Street for the coffee shop.
Yeah, this is a small location. Have you maxed out what you can do?
as far as production goes?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we brew. We can do about 12 batches a month, and it's we go through 12 batches a month. So, you know, there's no leftover.
Yeah,
we're max capacity. We have had to do some contract brewing on a few of the beers to have somebody else brew our recipes for us, just to be able to keep up. And we want to be able to have better quality control.
Yeah. So is that over with Dave at Missouri?
Yeah, that's with Dave at Missouri. We want to be able to have our quality control on you know, ourselves.
Yeah.
So we'd like to have that location with the bigger system that
we can
control everything, and then we can also do some distribution. And
okay. So have you thought about a location to stay in the like O'Fallon, St. Charles area?
We've got a few in mind. We've talked to a few developers. We're looking at something on the south side of St. Charles County.
Okay.
That's all we know for now. But yeah, we got our eyes on a few locations. Just trying to focus on one thing at a time. Let's get the coffee shop open, get that running, and as soon as that's open, we're in the
Southside's pretty wide open right now. You got exits over there, and that's about it until you get to Washington. So beer. What are your favorite styles to drink?
All of them. Tastes very stated.
Come in, one beer is my favorite, and that's what I'll drink, and the next day I'll come in and it's something else, and that one that was my favorite yesterday, it's not my favorite, and it's, you know, it doesn't taste as good that day. There's other days I'll come in and everything tastes good, and
yeah,
just work your way down the line.
Oh yeah. So it's not like I'm a stout guy or an IPA guy. I know people like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a lot of people are, and we try to be pretty broad range of things on tap.
Yeah,
because a lot of people do only like stout, only like IPAs, or only like the lighter things. But then there's other people that just want to experiment.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people that just, they don't order a full beer.
They order
two or three flights so that they can try everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe at the end they'll order a full beer of their favorite.
Yeah. But you?
Same way. I mean,
yeah.
If it's beer, I'll drink it. I mean, there's a few styles that I'm, you know, a little hesitant to grab, but you know, usually the sours, his pepper beers that he makes all the time.
Love the sours, I'll love the peppers.
I was going to ask that, are you going to have sours lined up? I mean, that's one of the big things right now.
We've got a couple of recipes. It's just a matter of getting around to when we can do them.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a wild yeast in a small area that we have, you got to be very careful or it can kind of contaminate the whole area. So we just got to make sure we got our processes down right first before we introduce those here.
Yeah
my go-to is definitely IPAs, and I think Josh nailed it with this Good News House. It's a Northeast style IPA, very low
Northeast
bitterness.
Northeast inspired.
Right.
Yeah,
Northeast inspired, full, very tropical. And I mean, how would you describe it?
I love it. I'm big into this style right now. This is one of the next ones I'm actually brewing. But yeah, this is a really good one. So I'm a big narrow gauge fan, so I try to get up there. And
they do some good stuff.
Yeah. So is there a favorite style to brew? I mean, it's not a huge variation in brewing different styles, but...
Your variation is just in your grain bill and your hops.
Right.
And then the process itself, really just in temperature.
Yeah.
You know, the process itself is the same.
Yeah.
It just varies in temperature and time to get different body or different flavors and things to come out.
Yeah. So what would you say your flagship beer is right now?
So our goal is that our you know, if you come to the brewery, you'll see these beautiful signs here, and you've got, and then black, our Belgian White, our Perfect Storm Pale Ale, our Dirty Laundry Brown Ale, because we're next to a laundromat.
Yeah.
Our Good News House IPA, and then our Hazelnut Coffee Milk Stout.
Okay.
Our goal is that eventually these beers are always on tap, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
You go to the coffee shop, those are going to be there. You go to the next brewery, those will be there. Then the other ones will be, you know, the seasonals, the experimentals, just the one-offs and things like that. But those beers, we call them gateway beers.
Yeah.
Because we get a lot of guys come in here and say, hey, what's the closest thing you got to Bud Light?
Yeah.
What does he say? The water. but then we'll lead them through that flight, that sampler.
It's a
Belgian White.
A lot of our recipes have been developed with the Bud Light drinker in mind to convert, you know, help them get into craft beer. So we built our recipes kind of like a ladder, one step at a time. You know, when you come in, say, wait, what's closest to Bud Light? Belgian White.
So
that's first step on the ladder. Then we go to the Perfect Storm Pale Ales, second step on the ladder and up.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, you're a brewery, but I know a lot of places will carry other beers. Have you had people coming in looking for other stuff?
Not really. We will do some other guest taps, but that's, you know, our goal is to have only our beers on tap.
Right.
That's what we are. We're a brewery. We're not a bar.
Yeah. Do you guys want to plug yourself? Website, social media, anything?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, check us out. Our Facebook page is probably our most active site that we use. We try to post all of our new new beers on tap there.
Yeah.
That's definitely probably the best place to reach us, check us out. We have a really cool patio that we just built this past few years and this past few months. The garage out there, we're really looking to do, you know, wedding rehearsal dinners and birthday parties and special events. It's been great. We can usually hold about 75 people out there, and we do a great deal with our wood-fired pizza. And people have gotten just great feedback from it.
The coffee shop's going to be Alpha and Omega. That's already on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, we have that on Facebook right now, and the goal is that will be open this summer, as long as we get all of our city approval.
Yeah, and you said you worked out with the church, the parking.
Yeah, Assumption Church has helped us out to it's a small location. It's not even a half acre lot.
Yeah.
So it's we're doing a drive through, so trying to fit all the cars in there.
Yeah.
And the turnaround radiuses for the drive through. Took up the majority of the parking, and Assumption Church is excited about us. They're looking for places to have Bible studies and small groups meet, and we said we'll have a place for you.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for taking time out and talking to me.
Thank you.
All right. I just want to thank the guys from Good News again for letting me come out there, supplying me with a couple beers and talking to me about what they're trying to do. In the meantime, you can go to nerdcast.com. It's NYRDCAST, where you can find more podcasts and articles. Got a lot of beer reviews coming up there soon, so be sure to check those out. We're also part of the IJOV Network. It's Inside Joke, Outside Voice Podcast Network. Go to IJOV.net, and you can find other great podcasts, like the Two-Legged Tie, a soccer podcast. The intro music is Groove Hop from DJ Analog. You can find more from him on Spotify.